Okay, good morning. Welcome back to Masechet Sukkah. This week we're learning Sukkah Daf Gimel. The Masechet Sukkah is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA. Shake things up this tax season. And Bagel Munch in honor of Jaime's granddaughter. We appreciate all the sponsorships. And we continue. Last week we started off the Masechta. We started off Daf Beis. And the first Mishnah, let's review a bit so we can jump back in. The first Mishnah listed several different requirements of a sukkah. The one that we focused on the most was that the walls can't be above 20 amos. It can't be a super tall sukkah with a tzchach super up high. That is, according to Chachamim, going to be pasul. Rabbi Yehuda happened to hold that that's actually going to be kosher. And Amud Aleph, we got three different reasons as to why that's the case. What's wrong with having such a tall sukkah? It seems like it would be very spacious and very beautiful. Three different reasons that the Gemara brings, that's why that's a problem. One is because it doesn't feel like a sukkah. It's supposed to be l'ma'an yidud or a seichem. You should feel like you're in a sukkah covered by the Shechina, and you can't even see the schach if it's so high up. Another reason was given is because you have to be in the shade of the schach, and if the walls are so high, you're really in the shade of the walls. You're not in the shade of the schach. And then finally, the third reason, which is how we actually pass in the Shulchan Aruch, is Rava says, because the sukkah has to be a diras arai. It has to be a temporary dwelling. Really tall walls typically are reinforced with steel or something really permanent to keep them standing. And a sukkah can't be that tall because it has to be a more temporary dwelling. We then said, is it actually true that Chazal, the Chachamim, actually say that it's pasul to have a 20 amos tall sukkah always? Maybe there are some cases where it's actually going to be allowed, where the Chachamim agree to Rabbi Yehuda that if your sukkah walls are above 20 amos, it's still going to be kasher. The first case we suggested was maybe if the walls reach all the way up to the schach, then it's going to be permissible. Because then I realize I'm in a sukkah because my eyes will follow the walls all the way to the top and I'll say, oh, there's a schach. So maybe that case, the Chachamim are going to agree that it's going to be kasher. And the next two suggestions we gave were perhaps the Chachamim only hold that it's a problem to have such tall walls in your sukkah if your sukkah is the minimum possible size sukkah. Either Dalad Amos by Dalad Amos, or 7 Tzvachim, or 6 Tzvachim by 7 Tzvachim, or 6 Tzvachim, which we're going to talk about more later today. If it's the smallest possible sukkah, then really high walls are going to be a problem. But if it's a bigger sukkah, then it would be permissible to have tall walls, because you're not going to have the shade issue of I'm sitting in the shade of the walls. As long as you have a nice, normal-sized sukkah, it would be okay. Shulchan Aruch, just to be aware, Paskins against both of these suggestions. It's always a problem to have walls that are above 20 Amos. Hopefully that doesn't really come up so much for us. But that's how the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in the end of the day. And then the Gemara, one, this is what we're in the middle of, brought the story of Hilni Hamalka to suggest perhaps we have a support for Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda held that your walls could be above 20 amos, and he says, I have a story from Hilni Hamalka, where she had super tall walls in her sukkah, and Chachamim didn't say anything. Right? If Rabbi Glasser came to your sukkah, and there was a problem with it, he'd probably tell you. He'd probably tell you, and you'd fix it in Chol HaMoed. And here the Chachamim saw Hilni Hamalka's really tall walls, and didn't say anything. That must be a proof that it's okay to have really tall walls above 20 amos, a support for Rabbi Yehuda. We then said, well, she's only a woman, and so she's pater from the mitzvah. Yeah, but she had 7 kids. If you have 7 kids, no matter how you space your children, how close they are together, one of them is going to be the age of chinuch, who is chayiv and sukkah midrabanan. Chachamim should have said something. If the kids are sitting in an improper sukkah, it must be, it's okay. So that's where we ended off, is, well, wait a second. We just said, what's the case of our Mishnah? What's the case of a machlokes between the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda about whether it's a problem to have 20 amos tall walls? We said either it's talking about when the walls don't reach to the schach, or if the walls reach the schach, everyone agrees it's okay. But maybe when the walls don't reach the schach, that's where there's a machlokes, or maybe it's by the smallest possible sukkah. Right? The case of our Mishnah is a tiny, tiny sukkah. That's where Chachamim say it's a problem. So for Rabbi Yehuda's proof of Hilni Amalka, we have to try plugging in the cases of our Mishnah and see, does it make sense? So our question was, how could it be if you hold that the Mishnah is only talking about a tiny sukkah that's 4 amos by 4 amos or even smaller, how could that be Hilni Amalka's sukkah? Presumably she has a very fancy lifestyle. She probably has the biggest sukkah in town. What do you mean Hilni Amalka has a small sukkah? And so we ended off that she has Kitonius Sheba. She has a small compartment inside her sukkah, so most of the sukkah is pretty huge, but she has some small spaces with walls around them, like a small 4 amos by 4 amos, or a 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim area, and that's the part which is a machlokes between Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, if it's pasul or if it's kasher, and that's what the proof is, that we see that she had really tall walls, there was a tiny part of her sukkah, Chachamim didn't say anything, so Rabbi Yehuda says, I have a proof that really it's okay to have walls above 20 amos. And so we're going to continue on Gimel Amud Aleph. We are around, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines from the top. It says Likitonius Sheba. So Rabbanan Savri Paneha Besukkah Ma'al Yahavi Yasvi Ve'ihi Yasva Bikitonius Mishum Tzniyusa. The Rabbanan hold that you can't have really tall walls in your sukkah. So why didn't the Chachamim say anything to her? Because the kids who are chayav mid Rabbanan in sukkah, they were sitting in the regular part of the sukkah, in the bigger part of the sukkah. The only person who was in that small compartment, which is questionable, was only the Hinayah Malka, Mishum Tzniyusa. For Tzniyus purposes, she sat in that small compartment. Umishum Hachi lo amri la'davar, therefore the Chachamim didn't say anything because she's a woman and she's pater from sukkah. For Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Yehuda says, no, I have a proof from here, because not only was she in there, but panaha gava havu yasvi. The kids also, who are chayiv in chinuch, mid rabbanan in sukkah, they were also in that small compartment, vafilu hachi lo amri la'davar, and Chachamim still didn't say anything, so that's the proof Rabbi Yehuda has, that it's okay to have really tall walls in your sukkah, because the kids were in there, and they're chayiv in sukkah, even though she's not, the kids are, and they didn't say anything about the kids sitting in this small compartment, so therefore that's the proof for Rabbi Yehuda that your walls could be above 20 amos. There's an interesting ha'ara about the mitzvah of chinuch that comes up related to this gemara. There's a chakira about who's chayiv in chinuch. Is it the father's obligation to teach the kid, or is it the kid's obligation to do the mitzvahs and the best that he can, even though he's under the age of bar mitzvah? But it's an additional question of who of the parents is actually obligated in educating their child. Is it only the father? Is it also the mother? The Meiri brings a proof from our Gemara that the mother also, because Hilni Hamalka was a mother, and we're talking about the chinuch of her kids, so we see an example in the Gemara on our daf of a mother educating her kids, and we're so careful about the mitzvah of chinuch for her kids. There's a Tosfos Yeshanim, however, who holds that the mother is not obligated in chinuch. The Gemara Nazir says a very interesting case. It says a father has the ability to declare his kid a Nazir. Don't try this at home. But you can say, my kid is a Nazir, and it works if you're a father, but it does not work if the mother says so. And the Gemara says two reasons. Maybe it's Halacha Moshe Misinai, fine, not going to help us. Or maybe the Gemara says, because the father is Chayav and Chinuch, but the mother is not Chayav L'chanich Espinah, she doesn't have the obligation of Chinuch, and therefore it's not going to be effective when she declares her child a Nazir. So that Gemara seems to say, according to one opinion, that the mother does not. Our Gemara seems to imply that it does, and the Tosfos Yeshanim, who assumes that the mother is not chayav in chinuch, says, well, in our Gemara, who says Hilni Hamalka is a single mother? She could have a husband who's just not as famous as Hilni Hamalka, doesn't make it on the page in our Gemara, but he could be that he exists, and he's the one who's doing the chinuch for the kids. Or maybe she was going above and beyond what she needed to do. So it's a bit of a discussion about a mother. Either way, halacha maisa, mothers also like to help their kids do mitzvahs. But our Gemara seems to relate to that question. We're not going to continue talking about the minimum shear of a sukkah, which we spoke about last time a bit. We really have three different options, but what's the smallest measurements of length and width of your sukkah? Let's go from largest to smallest. The largest requirement that we have is dalet amos by dalet amos, right? Just for tefach and amos, the way that I was always told to remember is tefach is like your fist, and ama is like your fist to your elbow. So amos are bigger. So 4 amos by 4 amos is the largest requirement that we have for the minimum. So that's the most mapper. It has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. Anything smaller than that would be puzzle. That's shita of Rebbe. And then we have Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue, we had this last time, Beis Shammai say, it has to be rosho verubo v'shulchano. It has to be your head, most of your body, and your table, which is 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, which is a smaller shear. Tefachim are smaller. 7 tefach by 7 tefach, that's the smallest amount for you, that their sukkah can possibly be. Anything less than that is going to be puzzle. And Beis Hillel say, forget the table. It has to be rosho verubo, it has to fit your head and most of your body, but not your table. And so a table is like around the tefach. So instead of 7 tefach, he says 6 tefach. 6 fachim by 6 fachim is the shita of Beis Hillel. So three different opinions that we have. So how do we paskin? So Amar of Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Halacha Tzricha Shetehei Mechazekes Rosho Verubo Vishulchano, which is what we said is a shita of Beis Shammai, which is 7 tefach by 7 tefach. Amalei Rabbi Abba Kiman Kibei Shammai. Whoa, who says that? Beis Shammai? Are you possibly saying the halacha is like Beis Shammai? Amalei Ela Kiman. Yeah, if not him, then who else am I talking about? Meaning I'm okay passing like Beis Shammai in this particular area. We don't usually pass like Beis Shammai, but in this halacha, I'm comfortable saying so. And another version of that conversation, Ika Da Amri, Amar Rabbi Abba Da Amalecha Mani. Rabbi Abba said, who holds like this? Amalei Beis Shammai Hi, Velo Tazuz Mina. This is Beis Shammai Shita, and you shouldn't veer from Beis Shammai Shita. I'm not afraid to passing like Beis Shammai over here, is actually how the Shulchan Aruch paskins, like Beis Shammai in this halacha, that it's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim, which is rosho verubo vishulchano, is the minimum possible shear for your sukkah. Anything less than that would be a pasul sukkah. Gemara now is going to ask a question, which I'm just going to preface a bit with the Gemara that we're going to reference, the Mishnah really, on Daf Chav Ches. We're going to quote it in a few lines. But really, what we just said, that everyone knows that there's a machlokes, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, about the minimum size that your sukkah has to be. Unfortunately, it's not the most explicit Mishnah. It's not like you'd expect, like, oh, how big can your sukkah be? Beis Shammai say this, Beis Hillel say that. It doesn't say that. It says the following, I guess you call it like a Maisa. If you have a guy who's sitting in his sukkah and his table is outside the sukkah, that's how it's presented. A person's in his sukkah, his table is outside his sukkah, is he yotzei or not? Beis Shammai say no, Beis Hillel say yes. So that could mean, Beis Shammai say, we're talking about a very small sukkah, and why is his table outside? Because he couldn't fit it. And Beis Shammai say you're not yotzei because your sukkah is too small. If your table's outside and it can't fit in your sukkah, you're not yotzei the mitzvah. And Beis Hillel say you are yotzei because I don't care if your table can fit inside or outside. You're yotzei even with a sukkah that doesn't fit the table, even just Rosh or Verubo. So that's... Yeah, sure.
I'm sorry, the fact that you said you're talking about 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim versus 6 by 6.
Yeah.
A shulchan, the thing of a shulchan being just one tefach seems implausible.
That's a good question. That's the Gemara's assumption. Right, there are also assumptions about how big people are. You could have a guy who's bigger than...
Everything
yeah.
seems to be... The dimensions seem to be completely off based on... Talking about head, most of a goof, and a table.
Right, yeah. It's a good question in terms of what their tables even look like. But I think that could be a factor. But yeah, I agree. It's a good question. You can see I think there are some diagrams that try to draw it, so you can see if that makes you feel any better. Okay. But it might not. So that's one possible way of explaining the machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. It's about how small can your sukkah be? Does it have to fit the table, or does it not need to fit the table? But there's another possibility that they're talking about. The case over there is a guy with a regular sukkah, like me and you. He has a huge sukkah. He happens to be sitting right at the door. Imagine you have like your sukkah right outside your kitchen. You have one of those like patio porch sukkahs right outside your kitchen, or whatever. It's be like by a few, you know, kitchen could be on the floor. Right outside your sukkah is your kitchen. You're sitting at the door of your sukkah, and you have a table literally in your house, in your kitchen. And that's the question of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Are you yotzei? I'm sitting in the sukkah, and so let's say this is my sukkah, and this is my table in my house. So I could have very great posture and put my fork, get my food, and eat in my sukkah perfectly under my schach the whole time. I also might lean into my table, and I'm going to end up eating outside my sukkah in my house. So that's the question. Are we concerned that I may lean in, or do we trust my confidence in my posture? So that's machlokes. Beis Shammai say you're not yotzei. Why? Because shema yimashech achar shulchano. We're concerned that you may lean forward. Beis Hillel hold that no, we're not concerned of such a thing, and you're going to still be eating in your sukkah even though the table happens to be outside. If that's a machlokes, it has zero to do with the minimum requirements of a shir of a sukkah, and nothing to do with 7 tefachim or 6 tefachim. It's a totally unrelated machlokas. And so that's what the Gemara is going to deal with right now. But the Gemara says, Maskeflar of Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Because our Gemara assumed until now that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about the minimum shir of a sukkah, and we're now going to question that assumption. Mimai de Beis Shammai u Beis Hillel besukkah ketana peligi. Who says that mission over there, which we just quoted, is a machlokas Shem Beis Hillel about the minimum, the smallest possible sukkah? Dilma besukkah gedola peligi. Maybe it's talking about a huge sukkah. And what's the case? Kegon de Yasiv apuma de metalalsa. You're sitting at the entrance of your sukkah, v'sholchano besoch habayis, your table is in your house, in your kitchen. The Beis Shammai savri gazrin and shema yimashich achar shulchano. Beis Shammai said that you're not yotzei because we're concerned you may be pulled towards your table and end up eating in your house. Ubeis Hillel savri lo gazrinan, and Beis Hillel hold you yotzei because we're not concerned of such a thing. And if that's what the Mishnah means, it has nothing to do with the minimum shir of a sukkah. So how could we just go quoting Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel have machlokes about the minimum shir of a sukkah? That's not what the case is in that Mishnah at all. Videkanami, and it also fits the words perfectly. It was talking about the ladder that's a sukkah gedola, because it says diktani mishahaya rosho veruba besukkah b'shulchano besukkah bayis b'shamay poslin u'beis hillel machshirin. I said it tells like a story of a person who happens to be sitting in his sukkah and his table is outside. The im isa, if it's a machlokas about the minimum possible shear, it could have had a lot clearer and explicit formulation. It could have said mechazekes ve'ena mechazekes. Just say, can his table fit or can his table not fit? Why does it say there's a guy who's sitting in his sukkah and his table is indoors? It seems like it's talking about the second version of this machlokas, that it's a sukkah gedola and we're concerned about him leaning in, or are we not concerned? So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara now asks, Uvasukah Katana, lo pligi? Fine, so you have your concerns with that Mishnah which we just quoted, but there has to be a machokes b'shamay and b'shillel about the smallest sukkah. It has to be, because look at the following brisos. The Hatanya, it says in one brisa number one, Mechazekes rosh of rubo v'sholchano kishera. The Tanakama says, if you could fit rosh of rubo v'sholchano with your table, it's kasher. And Rebbe Omer Achidiheba Arba Amos al Arba Amos. Rebbe Shita, as we said, is that it has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. He requires a bigger sukkah. Vitanya Irach, a second brisa. Brisa number 2 says Rebbe Omer Kol Sukkah She'ein Ba Arba Amos al Arba Amos Pesula. Rebbe says the same thing, that sukkah has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. But I'll get the Chachamim. Chachamim Omrim Afilu Ein Mechazekes El Rosho Verubo. Doesn't mention table. Kshera. Here the Chachamim say it has to fit Rosho Verubo. The Ilu Shulchano. No katani. It has mentioned table. So first brisa mentions table. Second brisa does not. Kashan adari. It's a stira between the two of them. Alalash mamina habe shamai habe hillel. The easy answer is that one is quoting beis shamai shita and one's quoting beis hillel shita. So I understand you have concerns with explaining the mishnah of the misha haya rosh of rubo that we quoted from daf chavches about how is that talking about a small sukkah or a big sukkah. But look at these brisos. It's clear that they do argue about rosh of rubo b'shulchano or rosh of rubo. They do have machlok about the minimum shira of a sukkah. And if you read the words that we just said, the words fit nicely with sukkah gedola, the words actually also fit nicely with sukkah ketana. Because what does it say? Right? Deka midiktani beishamai poslin uveshela machshirin. It says either it's pasul or kasher. The im isa, and if it's a machlok, it's about, am I doing the mitzvah appropriately? Are we concerned that I may eat inside, or are we not concerned? Then beishamai omrim lo yatsa, b'tilal omrim yatsa mi baile. It should have said, are you yotze, or are you not yotze? Imagine a guy comes over to you and says, your esrog is puzzle. Like, why is it puzzle? Oh, because you're holding it upside down. It's like, that's not puzzle. It'll be puzzle if it was a hole in it, or the pitzim fell off. I'm not yotze if I do it the wrong way. Puzzle sounds like there's a problem with my esrog. So if they say puzzle in kosher, it sounds like there's a problem with my sukkah, that my sukkah doesn't meet the required dimensions. So the fact that it says puzzle in kosher sounds like we're talking about the requirements of a sukkah, and the fact that it says misha haya rosh of rubo, it doesn't just say how big does a sukkah have to be, that sounds like we're talking about a big sukkah, right? So now we're a little torn. Right? Ve'ela kasha mishahaya. The words mishahaya imply that we're talking about a big sukkah. But pasul v'kasher, it sounds like we're talking about a small sukkah. So which one is it? So the Gemara says both. Liolam betarti pligi. Really, the shamay and mishilah have 2 machloksim. One's about the minimum requirements of your sukkah, and one's about a regular size sukkah, or if we're concerned you're going to lean into your house to eat. And the way that you read it is going to be as follows. Right? Pligi besukkah katana, upligi besukkah gedola. They argue about both. The chasure machzura, v'achi katani. We have to add in some words to the Mishnah to make it read a little more clearly. This is how it's supposed to read as follows. Misha haya rosho v'rubo besukkah v'sholchano besukkah bayis. B'shame omrim lo yatsa, v'shelal omrim yatsa. This is talking about a sukkah gedola. If you're tables in your house, are we concerned that you may end up eating inside? Beishamai say you're not yotze. Beishamai say that you are yotze. And then it continues, v'she'ena mechazekes ela kedei rosho v'rubo bilvad. If it doesn't fit your table, it only fits rosho v'rubo. Beishamai poslin. Beishamai say that you're not yotze because you have to be able to fit rosho v'rubo v'sholchano u'beis hillel machshirin. And beis hillel hold that that's kosher, that you're going to be yotze even with that small sukkah that can't fit your table. So then today, we have 2 machloksim about a sukkah. One is about how big does your sukkah have to be. Beishamai say it has to be 7 tefach by 7 tefach. Beis hillel hold 6 tefach by 6 tefach, and then we pass them like Beis Shammai, as we said, that has to be Rosh of Rubo Vishulchano, it has to be 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. And a second machlokas is by a big sukkah, are we concerned if you have your table outside the sukkah, indoors, are we concerned that you may end up eating inside? Beis Shammai say, yes, we are concerned, therefore you're not yotze if you eat in such a manner. Beis Hillel say that we're not concerned, and therefore you are going to be yotze there as well. We pass them like Beis Shammai, but both these halachos, that you would not be yotze if you have your table in your house. It was a fascinating concept, which ever since I heard about it, I thought it was like a tremendous chiddush, which comes up from Tosfos right over here. There's the huge Tosfos on the very bottom of that big Tosfos on Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosfos suggests something that's really fascinating. Let's say I do it. So Beis Shammai say, let me pass on Beis Shammai, I can't sit in my sukkah at the edge of my house and have my table in my kitchen. Let's say I did. Maybe I didn't know the halacha. Maybe I knew, but I don't care. I'm going to go against Beis Shammai anyway. Am I yotzei the mitzvah or not? If you read the Torah, biblical law, I'm allowed to sit in my sukkah and have my table outside my sukkah. I can totally eat the whole time, stay in my sukkah the entire time, and not violate any d'oraisa concepts, any issues d'oraisa. But the chachamim say, b'shamai say, we're concerned you may end up leaning in, so even if you're going to eat like this the whole time, you're not going to be fully yotze because of a gzeira shami yemashich. So let's say I do it. Do I get absolutely no kiyum ha-Torah, any kiyum ha-mitzvah at all? Or do we say, I'm yote the mitzvah, I just didn't do it fully. I didn't get the rabbi's stamp of approval, but in terms of the Torah requirements, I'm yote the mitzvah. And my yote the mitzvah at least me d'oraisa, even though I'm missing some of the derabanan characteristics, some of the derabanan details. And Tosfos say over here that the lashon of the Mishnah is, lo kiyam the mitzvah sukkah mi'amecha. That means that even me d'oraisa, you get nothing. If you go against the derabanan, additions to the mitzvah, you don't just get, oh, I'm yotzei d'oraisa, but I'm not yotzei fully d'rabbanan. You get absolutely nothing. Your scorecard in Shemayim does not have a checkbox next to the mitzvah of sukkah, according to Tosfos over here, because when the rabbanan add details to a mitzvah, and you go against those details, you don't get even the kiyum d'oraisa. This comes up in several different places. One, I guess, is apropos, is the first Mishnah in Maseches Brachos. Who remembers the first Mishnah in Maseches Brachos? It's a long time ago. The first Mishnah talks about the latest that you can say Kriya Shema at night. The earliest we say is from Tzeis, and the latest you could say Kriya Shema, how late into the night do you have to say Kriya Shema? Maybe I could just say Kriya Shema as long as it's not morning. I could say Kriya Shema if I woke up at 3 in the morning, like, oh, I forgot to say Kriya Shema. Can I say Kriya Shema at 3 in the morning? Technically, yes, midoraisa, but the Chachamim say, ad chatzos. Why do they say ad chatzos? Because we don't trust you. You're going to push it off. It'll be 11 o'clock, it'll be 12 o'clock, it'll be 1, 2, 3. Oh, I totally missed it. You're going to keep on procrastinating. So the Chachamim say, no. Chatzos, midnight is the latest you can say Kriya Shema. Let's say I say Kriya Shema after chatzos. So Chachamim say, midnight's the latest you can say it. But the Torah says, I can say it all night. So if I go against the Chachamim and I say Kriya Shema after chatzos, and my yotzei even a little bit, Rabbi Yonah says, not at all. Because once the Chachamim add a detail that you can't say Kriya Shema after Chatzos, if you do something against the Chachamim and you don't fulfill the details, meet the Rabbanon, you don't get any Kiyum whatsoever as well. Another example is by Kiddush Friday night. The D'oraisa requirements of Kiddush are not so much. You have to mention certain things about what Shabbos is. You don't have to hold a cup of wine to be able to say the mitzvah D'oraisa of Kiddush. And the Prima Gadim says that if you don't have a cup of wine for Kiddush, you're not Yotzei at all. You're not yotzei the mitzvah of Kiddush at all because of the fact that the Rabbanan added on the details of having a cup of wine for Kiddush. And if you ignore the rabbinic details, you get zero kiyum mitzvah whatsoever. Last example we'll say is shofar on Shabbos. If you blow shofar on Shabbos, we know that we don't blow shofar on Shabbos. Why? Because Chachamim say you may come to carry it outside the Erev and you're going to violate Hotzah on Shabbos. But let's say I did. Am I yotzei the mitzvah at all, or do I get nothing? Obviously, don't do it. But Rabbi Akiva Eger asks, let's say your shul is from, they're not going to blow shofar on Shabbos, but there's another shul in Passaic where they're blowing shofar on Shabbos. Should you may as well walk over there and at least hear their shofar blowing? Well, if they're being yotzei the mitzvah, so they shouldn't be doing it, they're going against the Rabbanon, but if they're being yotzei the mitzvah, maybe we should all walk over and at least hear shofar on Shabbos to be yotzei the mitzvah. Another question is, if you blow shofar on the first day on Shabbos, so if you're yotzei or not is going to have an implication on whether you should say Shecheyanu on day two. I blow the shofar on day one on Shabbos. Well, if I wasn't yotzei at all, then you say Shecheyanu on the second day because your first day was nothing. But if you were yotzei on the first day, you wouldn't say Shecheyanu on the second day. So all these different questions about this yesod, about how perhaps when I don't fulfill the rabbinic requirements of a mitzvah, I'm not even perhaps mekayim d'oraisa. That's the implication of Tosfos over here. And so we have our Gemara Shema Yemoshech HaKashulchano by Sukkah. We have Kriya Shema after Chatzos. We have Kiddush without the rabbinic requirements and Shofar and Shabbos. All different examples where this question comes up. Over here, the Ran happens to disagree, and the Ran says you would be Yotzei D'oraisa, you're just not Yotzei D'rabbanan, and it's definitely a question in terms of Lacha L'maisa, but the Yesod is just the fact that the Chachamim can add a din and make it that I'm not even Yotzei the mitzvah at all is tremendous. It shows how strong the Chachamim's power is in adjusting our mitzvahs.
The one by Kiddush is the one that's most relevant.
Yep.
Because you said Kiddush at night in Shul.
Yep.
And then you go home and you make Kiddush for your wife.
Exactly. So according to this, right, so that's the whole shaila of I'm a said a Kiddush at shul, can I then go and be motzi my wife who's still chayv in Kiddush completely? According to this, I didn't say Kiddush at shul because I wasn't yotzei, I didn't have a cup of wine with me. Right, exactly, but have direct implications to that sugya. In that area, I don't think we pass on like the Prima Gadim, but it definitely, he's following the same line of logic as our Tosfos. Fantastic point. Let's now continue with a bunch of different halachos. We're going to have 10 different halachos that all require a house to be 4 amos by 4 amos. Man tana la tana rabbana. We're on 5 lines from the bottom. We ask, who holds of the following brisa? Bayis she'ein bo 4 amos al 4 amos. A house that is less than 4 amos by 4 amos is pater min ha-mezuzah. No mezuzah should be put on such a small house or a small room. Umin hamaka, you don't have to put a fence around the roof of such a house. It's not considered a house if it's so small. But the whole yesod is going to be, if it's less than 4 by 4 amos, it's not a house. And so all the house halachos aren't going to apply if the house is less than 4 amos by 4 amos. So no mezuzah, no maka. It can't get saras. Right, saras can be on your body, it could be on your clothes, or it could be on your house. But if it's a house that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, it's definitely not going to be considered saras. And it's not considered bate arechoma. There's a halacha by houses that are inside of a walled city that you only have a year to buy them back. So if you sell your house that's in a walled city, you have only a year to buy it back. After that, you can't force the guy to sell it back to you. But in that first year, you have that time span to buy it back. And also, right, so usually the halacha is by these steyachuzah, by certain houses and property, you have the ability to buy it back from that guy for as long as you want. And once Yovel hits, it goes automatically back to you. By Yovel, all things are undone and it goes right back to your possession, but not by Batei Arechoma. By a house that's inside of a walled city, that does not go back by Yovel. That all these halachos only apply to a house that's dalad amos by dalad amos. Otherwise, it would have the halachos like everything, like all other properties, which would go back by Yovel. Another halacha, ve'ein chozmin alav me'orche hamachama. This is not a reason to go back from war. Or the Gemara, the Parsha, the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim discusses when they're about to go out to Mahama, it says, who here got engaged to a wife and didn't get to live with her yet? Or who built a house and didn't get to live in it yet? So what kind of house qualifies? So can you use that as an excuse to escape your war responsibilities? So only if the house is 4 amos by 4 amos is it qualified to be a bias that would allow you to go away from the Orche al-Mahama. Those are all 5 dinim that we had so far, which are all d'oraisa. Right there, the Torah says bias in those psukim. So bias means 4 amos by 4 amos. Anything less than that's not going to be called a bias. The next 5 are all dinim. They're a banan. We say the ein me'arvin bo. You can't use it for an eruv chatzeros. Eruv chatzeros, one of those like you don't think about it as much as the real eruv that goes around our town. Eruv chatzeros is even if you have a properly functioning eruv and there's no strong winds or snowy Shabbases. Even with that going, you still can't carry midirabanan. There's a rabbinic requirement obligation or not obligation. Whatever. There's a rabbinic iser that you can't carry from one Rosh Hashayachid to another Rosh Hashayachid. I can't carry from my house to your house because it looks like you're traveling from one Rishus to another Rishus. The way to get around that, the Chachamim said, we need to symbolically make it that we all really share the same house. We all live in the same house. It's not my house and your house. We all live together. And the way that we do that is that we have a pile of bread, or really, if it becomes a stack of matzahs that we use because those don't get spoiled, so they're gonna last for a long time. We take a stack of matzahs and someone says, on behalf of the entire Pasea community, I am being mezakeh. Everyone has rights to these matzahs. We all have shared ownership over the matzahs. And now it's like, and we put the matzahs in someone's house and it's like we all live in that person's house and we're all just in our own places, but we all share one rishus. That symbolic ownership, shared ownership, is what the Chachamim required in order to allow me to carry from my rishus hayachid to your rishus hayachid. I was asking around because I was curious. I know when I was in YU learning Hilchos Erevin, Rav Shechter said that he's the one who has the matzahs in his house. So I was wondering, like, where in Pesach? Who knows where the Pesach matzahs are? So I was in Tiff this past Shabbos. I was by my in-laws. I asked Rabbi Aaron Cohen. He said that he thinks that Rabbi Zupnik has it. So that's word on the street. So you can knock on his door and say, hey, I want my matzahs. Technically, that you could do. That's the rumor going around. Rabbi Zupnik has the matzahs. But that's the thing. We don't think about it. But there's always, every town has a matzahs somewhere that we're all combined and having ownership in, which makes it as if that allows us to carry, even though there's an eruv around our whole town, that allows me to carry from outside of my house into your house. And so in the times of Chazal, the way to think about it is Erev Chatzeros, if you have multiple houses that all share a certain chatzer, a certain courtyard, I can't carry from one house to another house through the chatzer unless we do this matzah ownership, this Erev Chatzeros, which combines all of us into one rishus. There's a big shop apartment buildings. I know in YU there are some buildings that were machmir to have their own matzahs, right, but not all of them. But yeah, it's a big discussion. A lot of details about Erev Chatzeros. Ve'en mishtat finbo. And also, there's another halacha called shitufe mavos. The same exact thing we just said about how houses that share the same courtyard, the same chatzer, you have to combine the houses with a stack of matzahs. So too, you could have multiple chatzers, let's go one step further, multiple chatzers that all go into, they all enter into the same mavui, the same alley. So all the different houses that are in each of the chatzers have to also do another stack of matzahs that's going to combine all the different chatzers. So the houses come across a chatzer, the houses combine with their Erev chatzeros, and across a mavui, multiple chatzeros combine through, they put a stack of matzahs in one of the chatzers. Right? So you have multiple houses, so one house gets a stack of matzahs. You have multiple chatzers across a mavui, one of the chatzers is also going to get a stack of matzahs. So these houses, let's say there's a house, right? What are we talking about? A house that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, do they have to pitch in now we just have everybody symbolically, you don't even know about it, but someone already accepted on your behalf the matzahs, but if you didn't participate and you didn't give towards the Erev Katzeros or the Shutufei Mavos, so are you going to hold everyone back and now we don't have this shared ownership? So if your house is so small, then we don't care if you participated in the Erev Katzeros or not. It's still going to be a kosher Erev Katzeros and Shituf Mavos because you're not considered a real house to cause any problems over here. The Ein Manichin Bo HaErev, and also whose house are you going to put the stack of matzahs in? Not this guy. Not the guy with the tiny, tiny house that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, because that's not considered a house anyway. He's totally unrelated to the Erev Katzeros. Next halacha, the Ein Osin Oso Ibor, Bein Shtei Ayaros. This is talking about Tchum Shabbos, right? Similar, but not Erevin. It's talking about Tchum Shabbos, where you can't walk more than 2,000 amos outside of the town. So it doesn't go by where you happen to be standing when Shabbos starts, 2,000 amos from there. It's 2,000 amos from the edge of town. So you go to the edge of Passaic, that's where you start counting 2,000 amos from there. That's how far you're allowed to walk on Shabbos. Beyond that would be violating walking outside the Tchum on Shabbos. Let's say there's Passaic ends over here, and there's another, like, random house plops right over here, around 20 amos away. So do we count Passaic from here, or do you count Passaic from where that random house is? So you can include, as long as that house is within 70 amos or so from town, that could also be called part of our town, and now we count 2,000 amos from where that house is, and on. Let's say there's one town over here, and there's one town over there at your table, and there's a house in between. So if our two towns are close, then we can just all be part of the same town, and I get 2,000 amos from where your town ends. But let's say your town is far away, so I have my town over here, your town's over there, we aren't close enough to combine, but there's a house that's equidistant from me and you, so the house is like 20 amos or 30 amos away from me, and it's also less than 70 amos away from you, so that house, I connect to that house connects to your town, so now my town is connected to your town, and I'm all the way over here in Passaic, and I get to get 2,000 amos away from where the edge of your town begins. So that only works if that house that's saving us is a big enough house. If that house is less than 4 amos by 4 amos, it's not considered a house, and that can't be me'aber, it can't be an ibor, a way of combining two different cities for the halachos of Tchum Shabbos. And the last halacha, the Ein Ha'achin Va'ashutfin Cholkin Bo, and brothers and partners who have a Yerusha, they want to split up the Yerusha, and all the Yerusha is a tiny little house, and they're like, we're going to split the house down the middle, so they can't force that split, because it's not even, it's like less than 4 amos by 4 amos, it's so small that they can't split it equally between the two people, they wouldn't have like a significant amount of house left. We'll discuss that a bit towards the end of the daf. So again, our question was, who taught this whole list? We have a list of 10 different things where a house needs to be 4 amos by 4 amos. We know by Sukkah, Beshamayim Beis Hillel say, not 4 amos, 7 tfachim or 6 tfachim. It could be even smaller. But who said 4 amos by 4 amos? That was the shita of Rebbe, that your sukkah has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. So who says by all these other halachos, not sukkah, but by mezuzah and makkah, etc., by Erevin and Tchum Shabbos, who says all of that? So maybe, lema Rebbehi, below Rabbanon. Maybe this is Rebbe who holds that a sukkah also has to be 4 amos by 4 amos, and not the Rabbanon who say either 7 tfachim or 6 tfachim. Gemara says, no, afilu tema rabbanon, ad kam lo kami rabbanon, ela inyan sukkah, the diras araihi. By sukkah, which is a temporary dwelling, that's what they say, it to be a smaller shir, it can be even smaller, it can be 7 tfachim or 6 tfachim. Havalakabi diras, alakabi bayis, the diras kerahu, by a house which is a permanent dwelling, Afilu Rabbanan modu. Even the Rabbanan are going to agree. The Iyespe Dalad Amos Dalad Amos Dairi Beyinchi. If it's big enough, if it's 4 amos by 4 amos, that's big enough to be that people can actually live there, and that's what's important for these halachos by mezuzah and makkah. The Ilo Lo Dairi Beyinchi. And if it's smaller than that, people can't live there. That's not going to be considered a diras keva. So basically, the Chachamim say by sukkah that your sukkah can be even smaller. When it comes to the other halachos, you have to actually have a real bias. That's what they say. It has to be Dalad Amos. And they're going to also agree to this whole list of other halachos that requires Dalad Amos, but Dalad Amos, even though Sukkah, is different. Amar Mar. Now we're going to go through the rest of the daf. We're going to go through the rest of the list of 10 things and discuss them a bit. Amar Mar, Pater min ha-mezuzah, min ha-makah, min ha-matami bin ha-goyim, bin ha-nechla, tabatei arichoma, bin chozen alav, mei orchei al-mechama. The first 5 things that were all dinim de-oraisa. Mezuzah, makah, tzara'as, the house that doesn't go back after Yovel, and going back from war. All of these, it has to be 4 amos by 4 amos. My time, what's the reason? The bias ksib behu bekulu. The pasuk says bias. The pasuk says house. And the Torah, when it says house, it means 4 amos by 4 amos. Right? The rest of the list is all derabanans. There's no pasuk to point to. So we're going to have to discuss why those would be 4 amos by 4 amos. It's one halacha by mezuzah that's relevant to this. You think Hilchos mezuzah? There's one halacha of mezuzah that's in Hilchos sukkah, that's in Masechet sukkah, and that's this, that the mezuzah is only required for a house or a room that's 4 amos by 4 amos, and the shayla is by walk-in closets. If you have a walk-in closet, so if it's 4 amos by 4 amos, then that's big enough to require its own mezuzah, perhaps. But let's say it's smaller than that. So there's 3 different shittos about a walk-in closet. Some say, one shita is that it goes on the right side of your closet. One says it goes on the left side of your closet, which is the opposite of the direction you usually think. And most hold, I think, that it will get no mezuzah whatsoever. So some say it goes on the right side like a regular room, because even though it's smaller than 4 amos by 4 amos, but it serves its function. And since it serves its function as a walk-in closet, therefore that would require a mezuzah. That's a shita of the Chamudi Daniel, quoted by Pesukei Tshuva and Hilchos Mezuzah. Rabbi Akiva Eger says it goes on the left side. Why on the left side? Because, fine, this room is too small to require a mezuzah, but let's say you're walking from your walk-in closet to your bedroom. You're walking into your house. It's like you walk in from outside. There's a mezuzah outside. You walk from outside into your house. You put up a mezuzah when there you're walking in. It should go on the right side. So when you walk from your walk-in closet to your bedroom, it should be on the wall. It should be on the right side from there, which would mean the left side of your walk-in closet. That's Rabbi Akiva Eger's shita. And I think that most say it would not require a mezuzah at all. We won't pass on like Rabbi Akiva Eger or the Chmuna Daniel. But it's a shayla. So if it has 4 amos by 4 amos, so I think if you ask for a glazer, your halakha l'maisa shaylas, I think if it has 4 amos by 4 amos, you would put up a mezuzah. If it has less than that, I think many would not put up a mezuzah, but maybe some do based on these other shitos. Also a question, if it's not 4 by 4, but it has that same 16 square footage, if it's like, 2 by 8 or 16 by 1, as long as it has that minimum amount, that's also subject to machlokes, rishonim. Which would be a further question, maybe mezuzah without a bracha. That's an interesting halacha that comes up lamaisa from our daf about hilchos mezuzah. But let's finish up. We have the last 5 inyanim, which are all dinim derabanan, that they all require the house to be 4 by 4 amos. So ve'ein ma'arvin bo, ve'ein mishtatvin bo, ve'ein manichin bo eruv. I said that you can't put the eruv chatzeros, or it doesn't require to be involved in the eruv chatzeros or the shituf mavaos, and you can't put the eruv chatzeros matzahs in that house. My taima de lo chazi ledira, since it's not ra'i ledira, it can't be lived in, you shouldn't put the matzahs in that house. It should go in a bigger house. Erevei chatzeros en manichin bo, avashituf manichin bo. It sounds like we said that you have one erev chatzeros which combines the houses that are across a chatzer, and shituf mevaos which combines the chatzers that are across a mavui. So the matzahs that combines the houses, that can't go in this house, but it sounds like the matzahs that combine the chatzers, that there the matzahs could go even in this tiny house. My taima de lo gara mi chatzer shebamavui. Why? Because it's no worse than a chatzer, right? As I said, when you combine the houses across a chatzer, erev chatzeros, the matzahs go in a house. When you combine the chatzers, the matzahs usually go in a chatzer. It usually goes outdoors. So what's the difference between outdoors and my tiny house, which isn't considered a house? It should be the same halacha. That's why it's okay to put your shituf matzahs in this tiny house. It says in the Mishnah. It says in Mishnah and Erevin, Erevei chatzeros bechatzer, shitufei mavui ben mavui. It says a strange line, which is against what I was just saying, that the Erev Chatzeros, the matzahs go in the Chatzer. We said it goes in the house. It's a weird wording. And then Shitufei Mavui goes in the Mavui. So what does that mean? Ba'abinam, but the Gemara asks, Erev Chatzeros b'Chatzer, is that true that the matzahs go in the Chatzer? They go in the house. Though it's not, it says in the Mishnah, Hanosin Erevo bebeis shar. Or if you put the Erev Chatzeros matzahs in a beis shar, a small room that's for a guard, it's a tiny, less than 4 amos by 4 amos, or an achsadra, a porch, or a marpeses, a balcony, Eino Erev, that's not going to be a proper Erev Chatzeros. You can't put your matzahs in there because it's not really to be lived in. Right? And Vadarsham Eino Oser, and if they don't participate in the matzahs, they're not going to cause problems because it's not considered Ra'i Ladira, and that's why the matzahs that house or these types of houses are not going to cause problems by Erev Chatzeros. But as we said, it doesn't go in there, it goes in a regular house, it doesn't go in a chatzer, because a chatzer is not roi ledira. So rather, Ela'ema, it should have said the following phrase, Erev Chatzeros bebayis shebechatzer, as said that the matzahs that combines the houses across the chatzer, that goes inside a house in the chatzer, v'shitufei mavos bechatzer shebemavui. And you combine the chatzers across a mavui, those matzahs go in the chatzer, that's somewhere across the mavui, v'hai, and this small house, lo gara mechatzer shebemavui, should be no worse than the chatzer itself. A small house shouldn't be any worse than literally being outside in the chatzer. The next halacha we had was Tchum Shabbos, Ve'ein Osin Oso Ibor, Bein Shtei Ayaros. This small house can't combine two different cities to make them all like one city, and that will count Tchum Shabbos 2,000 amos from the other city. The Gemara continues, Da afilu kiburgenin lo mashvinala. We don't even consider it to be like burgenin. Burgenin were these like temporary huts that Rashi says either they were using for like for hunting or for guarding certain produce. These temporary huts, they weren't livable. They were livable for like a day or so. But those, we say, do combine houses, do combine cities. So if my city is over here and your city is over there and there's a burgenin, a hut in between, that does combine the two cities. But a house that's small, less than 4 amos and 4 amos, that's not going to combine the cities. So why? What's the difference between a burgenin, those temporary huts, and our house that's less than 4 amos and 4 amos? My time, because Borgenin chazu lemosayu. At least those huts fit their function. They're meant to be used for only one night for these temporary purposes, and so that's going to combine the two houses. But the high, lo chazi lemose. But here, this house, which is a tiny house is supposed to be lived in fully, and here it doesn't fulfill its function. That's why a house is not going to combine the two cities for Tchum Shabbos, but the Borgenin, those temporary huts, would. My final halacha, this is where I'll give you permission to look in your WhatsApps in a second, that ve'ein ha'achin v'ashutfin cholkin bo, that brothers or partners who want to split a house that's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, but they can't split that, they can't force each other to split that if they don't want to, because there isn't enough for everyone to take. So the Gemara says, Taima delays be dalad amos. It sounds like, oh, because it's less than 4 amos by 4 amos, that's why they can't force a split. But ha'ispe dalad amos cholkin. But as long as it's 4 amos by 4 amos, then the two brothers or the two partners could split the house. But is that really true? V'hatnan ein cholkin es lachatzer ad sheyehiba 4 amos lezeh. Each party should be able to get 4 amos by 4 amos at the end of the day. If I have a house that's just exactly 4 by 4, so one guy's going to get 2 by 2, or 2 by, however you want to split it, 2 by 4, and one guy's going to get another 2 amos by 4 amos, everyone's only going to get half, but you need each person to get 4 amos by 4 amos. So that would be a 4 by 8. So that each person, when you split it in half, each person gets 4 by 4 amos. That should be the requirement. So it sounds like, even if it's 4 amos by 4 amos, that's also not splittable, because each party needs to get 4 amos. So the Gemara explains, Ela Ema Ein Bo Din Chaluka Bechatzer. Rather, we meant that the house is less than 4 amos by 4 amos. It doesn't have the assumed halachos that typically apply by splitting up a chatzer across houses. So let's open up our WhatsApps for a second. I think it's a lot clearer to look at the diagrams. That's what we have in the Daf HaShavua WhatsApp. If you open up the PDF and just scroll to the bottom, there are the bottom three pictures. So we'll see two of them have a picture of a large chatzer, and there are 4 houses. Does everybody have their WhatsApps open? Mm-hmm. Everyone found what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So there's 2 pictures, which have a lot of green in them. There's, on the left side, you have 3 houses, and on the right side, you have a 4th house. That big house, there we go, you can I'll share mine. So the big house on the right has only one doorway, and the three houses on the left have three separate doorways. So let's say there's a Yerusha. There are four houses that split up across two brothers. So one brother gets the three houses, and one brother gets the big house on the right. So how do you split up the chatzer? It's in between them. How do you split up the courtyard? There's a whole yard in between these two houses. So do you split it right in the middle? So the first shita is no. It goes based on how many doors you have. How many doorways do you have? If you have three doorways, so three out of the four doorways, you're going to get three times as much chatzer. And therefore, the guy on the left is going to get, that's in the first picture, the guy on the left is going to get three quarters of the chatzer, and the guy on the right only has one doorway, is only going to get that last quarter of the chatzer. That's the first shita, that's the shita of Rav Huna. And Rav Chisda says in the second picture, no. Generally speaking, you split the chatzer right down the middle, but we're going to give every doorway a square of 4x4 amos, so they have the ability to, you know, if they're bringing a lot of luggage, they'll have a place to put their stuff down. So they get the 4 amos by 4 amos right by the door. But besides for that, the yard itself is going to be split equally down the middle, an equal split of the chatzer. So that's the two opinions. That's the din chalukah. There's a machlokas about how to split a chatzer, but these halachos about, oh, I have three doorways, you have one doorway, only counts if the doorway is part of a house that's 4 amos by 4 amos. If your house, you could have 10 doorways, but if it's 10 random little sheds that are less than 4 amos by 4 amos, you're not going to get more yard because of that. You're not going to get the 4 amos by box by your door because it's not considered a real house. So that's what the Gemara is talking about. You can look out of your WhatsApps and back into your Gemara. You can look back in the WhatsApps later. So now the Gemara says, Ein bo din chalukah b'chatzer. That's what we meant by these two brothers or partners splitting the chatzer. It means when they're splitting up the houses. It should be four houses in our example, and one has three doorways, and one brother gets only one doorway. So this following machlokes is not going to apply to a small house. The Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna Shita is the first picture. Chatzer lefi pesach ha mischalakes. You get, if you have three pesachs, you have three doorways, you get three quarters of the yard. That's Rav Huna Shita. And Rav Chisda says, no. Omer nosein lekol pesach upesach. Pesach arba amos. Each doorway gets a 4 amos by 4 amos square, and then the shar cholkenos of the shada, and the rest of the yard is going to be split equally. That's machlokas of Huna and of Chisda. But the hani mili bias til mehave kai. This machlokas only is true about a bias, which is 4x4 amos, because it's the mahave kai. It's meant it's going to be lived in, it's going to be used, and that's when we say you get the extra, we get more rights to the chatzer, or that 4x4 amos, but high by a small house, to the misr kai, where it's going to be destroyed. You're not going to use that as a livable house, so lo yavin on lechatzer, you're not going to get more of the yard because of your small, tiny little doorway and your small little house. So that's the 10th halacha that we had. So we discussed today a lot of stuff. We concluded the discussion about having walls that are above 20 amos, not whether it's kosher or puzzle, and the story of Hilni Hamalka. We discussed about the smallest requirements of a shir, whether it's 4 amos by 4 amos, or 7 tfachim or 6 tfachim, whether it's Bishamai or Beisilel, and we pass them like Bishamai. We discussed Shemei Moshech Achar Shulchano. Can you eat with your table in your house, and you're sitting in your sukkah? Are we concerned about that or not? We pass them that we are concerned. And we discussed finally 10 halachos that all require the house to be 4 amos by 4 amos, involving mezuzah and makkah and erevin and tchum Shabbos, and then finally this case about the brothers splitting the chatzer of their Yerusha. Yes, Yashikov. Wow.